compliment what she does. Send her roses just because. If it's violin she loves, let them play. Dedicate her favorite song and hold her closer all night long. Love her today, find 100 ways.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone lines. And Tom, I want to apologize. We caught you at a bad time. So thanks for waiting. Tom from LA is on the line. Hey Tom, how you doing today, man?
Hey Earl,
doing any better?
I'm doing okay, man.
All right.
Yeah, I got out of the hospital yesterday. I'm doing okay.
Okay.
First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. I do love the fact that whenever you do have a Republican caller call in, there's always that whataboutism, or there's always like a Simon Cowell critique of, you know, each program rather than looking at the whole program as a whole. They always can find a little, you know, problem in everything in which you can do in anything in life that needs to be fixed. And part of that needs to be fixed by having referees on the field. And part of that needs to be fixed by, you know, getting the money out of either politics or out of the organization that is benefiting from that in a major way. I just think that Sandy really makes it very, very clear. And I think that whether you're on the left or whether you're on the right, or even if you're in the middle, that we really need to hit home this MMTC, which is mortgage, medical, childcare, and taxes.
Yeah.
Because those are the four things that I keep on talking to every person about, whether they're on the left or the right. That, along with money and politics and, you know, things like ranked choice voting, if we're going to not get money out of politics, because those are the answers in terms of what we got to do. If you ask that regular person on the street, you know, 16,000 going to child care, 16,000 going to medical care, 16,000 going to taxes, and 16,000 going to child care. You really ask the person, what is the person supposed to do? They haven't paid for their food, they haven't paid for their shelter, they haven't paid for their clothing, they haven't paid for their financial aid or their loans. What is a person supposed to do? And when you got a bunch of people, whether it's the state of Wisconsin or in the country, that sit up there and do absolutely nothing except for do food fights and do, you know, reality TV, basically, that's not getting us solutions, people. And I just wish that everybody would start really waking up and, you know, realizing what's going on. And one thing that the government did, and they did pretty well, was they made sure that when they had the military industrial complex, that every state in the country needed one little trinket for this or one little trinket for that. And that might be one of the reasons why we do get funding for that military industrial complex over everything else, because of the fact that that is something that, you know, people need from every state in order to do, you know, get that stuff funded. So I just wish that people would wake up and start going, what is the return on investment? And I think like a business person, what is the return on investment for my taxes? What do I get back from my taxes? And if you're a person that is, you know, struggling, and I'll just give you an example. When I was in Wisconsin, you know, one of the things my mom, who is in a rural area, she's a progressive, but I even heard her say, well, maybe one of the parents need to start staying home more. And maybe that would make for a better society as well, because, you know, that way. But the thing is, she lives in a town of 2,000 people. She's not living in an urban area where you have mom and dad living right next door, or mom and dad can even afford to be able to, you know, help out with the kids or whatever it might be. So there really is that, again, that difference between a rural versus an urban, you know, type of mindset. Yeah. Also,
Tom,
I just think we need to get back to the MMTC.
All right, Tom. Yeah. Thank you very much for the call.
A conservative journal like the Wall Street Journal now reports that a minimum of 60% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. And living paycheck to paycheck means exactly what you're talking about, you know, that the mortgage payment, the tax payment, the child daycare payment, the health care payment, the rest of it is consuming their paycheck in such a manner that they can't save money. They can't put it away for their future retirement. They can't put it away for education. They can't pay student debt, maybe. So, you know, you're absolutely right. We've got to get politicians to address the existing conditions of the Americans, you know, the American people. And if they would address those rather than diverting themselves, which is, I'm sure, exactly what the interests, the lobbying interests in Washington like nothing more than all these diversions, and so that the subtext of politics can be all the things they want. You know, the things that K Street gets don't get headlines. They just get built into legislation here and there. And you're right that the military budget has been set up like the biggest pork barrel in the world over the years. There's a military base in every state. There are military contractors in every state. And all of that bleeds into politics. So, you know, here we are in Wisconsin. We wouldn't consider ourselves to be militarily dependent like Mississippi and a bunch of states in the South. But yet we have some very big military contractors in the state, and we have military bases here.
All right. Let's go to CJ. Hey, good morning to you, CJ. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I was actually waiting to discuss and ask questions of Sandy because a lot of things happened last week. We found out just how corrupt in the Durham report from the top that watched, I guess, you know, and I was just patiently waiting. I didn't really even.
Listen, CJ, you can talk about that, but that you watched what was it you're referring to?
I was wondering if Sandy happened to watch John Durham's testimony.
I didn't watch it live. I watched portions of it. I read portions of his report. You know, I was able to see what the coverage provided. You know, it was a mixed report. He definitely he also gave testimony directly in which included information outside of his report, in which he suggested that there needed to be some operational changes made in the way the FBI operates and has oversight. And I'm all for government oversight of organizations. You know, the FBI has run amok from anybody's vantage point at various times. It certainly was running amok during the period of Martin Luther King's period, and it might well be running amok all the time in various ways. So I'm not a defender. I don't quite understand what you attribute to my thought processes, but I'm not necessarily a defender of the FBI as an organization, other than the fact that we definitely have to have a federal law enforcement agency. You know, the notion of defunding the FBI is probably just as anathema, or should be just as anathema, as the concept of defunding the police. I don't favor either one. I do favor correct oversight of both of them so that they both would operate as they should. And I'm not sure that the Durham report was particularly damning about the particular details associated with the situations that prompted the Durham report, you know, that prompted his investigation. But he did probably analyze and came up with some suggestions for ways that the FBI could have better oversight.
So for those in the listening audience who don't know what this Durham report is and what we're talking about, I mean,
Well, Durham was selected as a special counsel by William Barr to investigate essentially the whole Russian gate, the whole investigation there, and what the government did, who did what, when, why. And there were some criticisms levied by Durham. He brought two prosecutions, both of which failed to produce convictions, and otherwise produced a report, so that, you know, it wasn't the tinderbox of fire that was expected, I think, by those who wanted Durham to be appointed, but it did point out some things.
So he was appointed by a conservative leaning
Attorney General.
Attorney General.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but CJ, what was it that you wanted to talk about other than what I just talked about?
Because the mere fact, the Durham report explained just how poorly the Mueller report did in defining the Russian gate. It was found out the Durham report is only 300 pages. Anybody can read it. Just how corrupt our FBI is. And every time I talk to you, Sandy, you deflect. You are the greatest deflector I've ever spoke with.
No, I'm not sure I deflect.
Hang on. We've got to go to break, man. Hang on.
I'm a deflector.
844-967-2789. Mike, what is it?
I try to go for facts. But
Frazier and Ali will continue that on the other side.
Yeah, here we go.
All right.
Ways. You better believe it. Whoa, love her today. Find 100 ways. I'm telling you to love her today. Find 100 ways. Oh, love her. 100 ways. Yeah. You better love her today. Find 100 ways.
WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 a.m., Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 a.m., WAUK.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 86 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows level off around 60 tonight. Daytime highs approaching 89 tomorrow. Mainly clear skies. Much cooler Sunday and Monday with highs from the low 70s to the upper 70s. Storms both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 70 degrees.
You can text us that same number as Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. And CJ, continue, please.
Thank you. So did John Durham find that Trump colluded with Russia, Sandy?
No, I don't think he did. I don't think that that was actually part of his charge, though, either. I don't think he was to investigate that issue. I think he was to investigate the way that the investigation by the Justice Department, the FBI, was carried out in that regard. Because actually, the Mueller report didn't find that either, right? They left that issue open. I think that Durham did, in his testimony, say that he thought Robert Mueller was a patriot and was a model citizen and had done a perfectly fine job. So I'm not sure what the fire is here, but I haven't really staked out much of a position with respect to any of this, other than reading with interest the Mueller report and reading with interest the Durham report.
I don't think Sandy's on trial. I mean,
well, I'm not even suggesting that. I just don't quite understand the need for us to plow this ground over and over again. I don't know if you listened to the show on Monday, but CJ, but I was hoping you might call, because what we were talking about on Monday was something that really makes a difference, which is the extreme difference in the cost of healthcare in the United States as compared to any other country in the world. We spend over $12,000 per capita on healthcare in the United States. The next most expensive country is Germany at $8,000. If we could reduce our healthcare expenditures to $8,000, it would reduce our federal healthcare spend by $500 billion, and it would reduce the nation's healthcare spend by $1.5 trillion. So that's a really important issue, and we never talk about that.
I don't think that interests CJ.
I mean, what is it that if you had your way, what would you want the country to try and address that issue, to figure out what's so broken in our healthcare architecture that causes us to spend money like that?
Hence deflection.
No, I'm not deflecting. Yeah. Look, I'm perfectly willing to accept. I accept anything you want to say about the Durham report, other than something that might not be reflected in the Durham report. But it's not. It's not a matter of import. I agree. I read the Mueller report, and actually, it came out and basically didn't cause. It didn't say that. Nor did it suggest that there needed to be an action taken against Trump for collusion. And the Durham report further indicated that there were elements of the FBI investigation that were faulty. And all of that was, there was never a contest about any of it.
I don't see it's a top priority, CJ, to people in this listening audience.
One word or one sentence, then my mic is off, or Sandy talks over me. So all of a sudden now we're talking about healthcare, but the corruption at the FBI is so blatant.
Well, what do we want to do about that? Okay. CJ, I'm going to just ask you a question. Okay, the corruption is blatant at the FBI. What should we do about that?
Fire Christopher Wray.
Christopher Wray was appointed by Donald Trump. I mean, all of these people. This is all. Yes, there needs to be oversight over an organization like the FBI. I'm not sure how it is you feel you're privy to enough information to know whether it is Christopher Wray that is the seed of the problem and ought to get fired. Or who? I mean, that's all. I just think we ought to keep ourselves on course.
How about the dual justice system? The cheap Hunter gets off. Black men are serving 4 years in prison
CJ,
for the same charges.
CJ, thank you very much for the call. You try, right? And all the things, once again, he's got this axe to grind because there are others, and Republicans have the axe to grind because at the root of all of it is Hunter Biden didn't get charged, and the big guy should have been charged. And if It's not going to be something big because this was played up to be something really, really big.
Well, I'm not sure the investigations of Hunter Biden are over. I think that there is a U.S. attorney in Delaware. I don't understand exactly where the investigations are ongoing, but I'm not sure that this is the only shoe that's going to fall in.
Six 7 27 89. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, it's always good to have you on the line.
No, thank you. It's good to be able to talk with you folks. First thing I want to say, remind people of, and you, it's already been covered, I guess, is that the prosecutor basically said there was no interference in the Hunter Biden prosecution or an investigation. Most of the time when somebody owes back taxes, regardless of the reason, the IRS just wants their money. They're not really terribly interested in sending somebody to jail unless there's something really, really obvious and egregious involved that the person has done to try to avoid paying their taxes. And then, of course, there are a couple of other little details. Hunter Biden is not, was not, and never has been in this administration. Hunter Biden is responsible for his own stuff. He's in his 50s, if I recall correctly. And he's an independent person. But what we're hearing, of course, from the Republicans is Biden, guilty, 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 guilty. And, yeah, okay, Hunter Biden is, obviously, since he copped a plea, he's admitted guilt. But he's not in the administration. Unlike the sons, daughters, close relatives of, again, Donald Trump, none of whom, if I recall correctly, passed a security check, but he demanded that they be part of his administration anyway. And at last I heard one of those close relatives got something like $2 billion from the Saudis, and we don't even know why, as far as I know, yet. So this whole thing is a nothing burger, in my personal opinion.
Okay, Jack.
Well, you know, I think a nothing burger is the way to describe it with respect to it, the importance in the grand scheme of things. I mean, I do think that people ought to be held to the law regardless, okay, whether they're the son of a president, whether they are an ex-president, whether they are the president. You know, I think all those things ought to be investigated, and the rule of law is so fundamental, and it's you know, America is one of the few countries, the U.S. is one of the few countries in the world where the rule of law has been applied relatively effectively for a very long time. If we lose the rule of law, we'll descend into something that we don't like at all and would become a country. You know, the main problem Russia has is they don't have the rule of law applicable. It's all about contacts and corruption. And the same is true in Ukraine. The same is true in many, many countries around the world. We don't want to get there. It's the dark ages. I do think, however, that all of this focus, whether it be the Democratic focus on Trump's Russiagate, which seemed important at the time, or whether it was whether it's the Republican focus on Biden, is a diversion from things like solving the healthcare problem, solving child daycare, solving the issues that really affect Americans. And what troubles me is that all of it becomes theater, and it all becomes theater that is totally distracting to us and feels important. I mean, I know that CJ, when he calls about this stuff, it feels very important to him, but why should it be important when we compare it to things that are really important to everybody?
Jack?
Well, that is the problem. For the last 6 or 7 years, the whole thrust of the Republican Party has essentially been mislead, misdirect, obfuscate, misinform, and generally do anything possible to distract from the real problems we have in this country. This is what's happening in the House of Representatives right now. We have a couple of I shouldn't call them idiots, but a couple of so-called representatives who are trying to impeach Biden, and I'm thinking, over what? And supposedly open borders? Excuse me? We have never had and do not have open borders in this country. I mean, this whole thing is all misdirection.
Well, actually, I think the level of enforcement at the border is exceeding the level of enforcement that has ever occurred in the past, based on the millions of people that have been detained. But the problem is that there are many millions. You know, that the problem has increased at the border, but it's a problem that is, as you mentioned, it's bipartisan. The problem has existed. And to the extent the borders are open, they're no more open now than they were. In fact, the efforts to keep them confined and closed is greater now than it was under the Trump period.
Well, that's the case. And of course, the Republicans had 4 years of virtually complete control that they could actually have done some real work on the border. Nothing was done. You know, it's the same thing. Just as an example, it's the same thing for infrastructure. Infrastructure was not dealt with under the Trump administration. Within a year and a half, Biden got past over $1 trillion in infrastructure repairs. This administration, the current one, has actually done something. And one of the problems, of course, that the Democrats have and have always had is that they need to publicize all of this stuff. You may recall those little stickers that people were putting on gas pumps pointing to the with Biden's fingers pointing to the price. I did this. He needs to make some big stickers and on each section of the interstate highway where there are repairs, he needs to put those with that finger pointing to the construction, I did this.
Okay, Jack, man. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Hey, Ken.
Good morning, gentlemen. Boy, he's pretty clueless, isn't he?
Hey, who, Jack?
Yeah.
No, man,
just
Jack
because
is...
You spend trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. That's a good thing. That's why the inflation is as high as it's been in 60 years. Just because you spend trillions and trillions of dollars, that doesn't mean you're doing it.
You can't say that those dollars that were spent for infrastructure weren't needed. Infrastructure and repairing the infrastructure in parts of this country were absolutely needed. Not all, but in many places. I'll tell you, I've seen the impact of it in the city where I live, where roads that needed to be, some of them repaired in neighborhoods and other places has happened, and I'm happy to see it.
Well, inflation's been the inflation we've experienced has been the result of a conflation of issues, including the pandemic, including the war, including the Trump tax reduction that greatly infused a great deal more revenue into the economy and out of the government coffers, which is what's caused a lot of the deficit. So there are multiple reasons for the one, inflation, and two, deficits uh, that that can, there's plenty of blame to be spread around. Some of it's political and some of it's circumstantial. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Absolutely. My question was, how come you make $1.5 million, you pay $100,000 in tax on it? Hunter Biden.
Oh, these are personal issues and tax issues that, to me, we can talk about it, and it can fan the flames of anger. I do think the Burisma thing for Hunter Biden, that obviously smells of influence peddling, but I'm not sure the extent to which Joe was actively participating. That's the issue, not whether the kid was willing to sell himself as someone who has influence, but whether his father was actually participating in peddling influence. But, you know, if we want to look at tax dollars paid by people who earn a lot of money, we can certainly look at Donald Trump's taxes and the amount of money he earned and be inflamed by that. The problem with America's tax structure is that if you earn a lot of money and if you earn it based on being an investor rather than an income earner, you don't pay much taxes.
That's true, but don't you find it ironic that we get preached at by his old man about fire, gun control, rich don't pay his taxes, and here his son is doing both of them?
Well, sure. I think Washington's filled with hypocrisy. Sometimes hypocrites sometimes hypocrites say things I agree with, and so I want those things to be in effect. I would guess that much of what every politician in Washington says is subject to being examined as being hypocritical.
Well, so what I don't understand is how, you know, they want to point to Joe Biden as being a hypocrite. And we've seen the former president and the guy who's running for office now. And I don't think to continue to talk about Joe Biden's a hypocrite. And we've got a former president of the United States facing all sorts of jeopardy.
Hypocritical.
Yes.
I think even those who support Donald Trump would agree that there's very little of his own personal values that he's ascribing to his political processes. I don't know. I mean, I understand your frustration about politicians and hypocrisy. Because I think it's rampant, and I think it's rampant in Washington, and it's unsettling to see the people that we elect, okay, and who it is and what they are, but it's rampant. Don't you agree with that? I mean, we can say, well, Joe Biden's a hypocrite. Don't you have trouble identifying a politician in Washington, regardless of party, who doesn't seem to be hypocritical?
Well, the problem is you guys don't know the justice system, for one thing. In this country, like you guys keep preaching every single day, Trump did this, Trump did that. Okay, what has Trump got accused of? What has he?
Huh?
Well, what he's trying to say is, what has he been found guilty of? That's what he's trying to say. What has he been found guilty of? And I say the same thing to you. What has Hunter Biden been found guilty of other than what we're talking about now?
Well, you know,
okay.
I don't know the extent to which we, you know, you guys, I mean, you want to ascribe the general news media and what it is they talk about and what social media talks about with Donald Trump. I think we've been careful to try and only talk about things that are factually demonstrated or proven. But there's, you know, and Donald Trump has now been charged with a variety of things. People who support him would describe those things as being too trivial to charge an ex-president with. Other people might look at it and say, well, I'm not sure. We don't know the facts. But in any case, law violations need to get prosecuted.
All right, Ken. Gotta go. We'll come back on the other side. 844-967-2789. Be right back.
How do you keep it playing? How do you keep the music playing over and over?
Close to me, 'cause I know she breaks so easily. And then I told her, but I knew no matter how I tried to console her, she'd just do the best she could. But there are times the best is no damn good, and no matter how you try to be kind, there's always still a part of you you leave behind. When it falls apart, there's no easy way to break somebody's heart.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy, you know, we're never going to get beyond this. These conversations, the Hatfield and the McCoys, are going to be forever going on. And
well, you know, it's interesting because when you try and have a conversation about substantive things, we revert to things that can inflame us or that can separate us, so that we want to talk about yeah, but, and then the yeah, but turns into Hunter Biden or, you know, and the fact is that Washington is, in a way, a cesspool, right? I mean, it's filled with hypocrisy. It's filled with people feathering their nests. It's filled with senators who go off and develop a net worth, regardless of which side of the aisle they sit on. And I think what the American people have to do, number one, is try and be careful about who we vote for. And then I think what we have to do is try and keep their attention on the right things. And we shouldn't let ourselves get deflected by all this stuff. You know, I don't have an axe to grind with CJ about Hunter Biden.
the bigger things.
So there are so many bigger things to talk about, and I have no interest in talking about Hunter Biden. And I don't think we have an interest, you and I, in talking about Hunter Biden. I think we've spent a total of 22 seconds on the issue, independent from someone calling in about it.
And in all the time that this has been going on, how many times have we talked about Hunter Biden? I know
I think every time we've talked about that, we've said we think investigations ought to proceed and people ought to be held accountable, and that continues to be the position. Now, we can all then second-guess the referee's call, right, whether the guy caught it or dropped it. That's what we're doing when we now analyze whether Hunter Biden got off too easy or not. Was it pass interference, or did he catch the ball? You know, is there a replay? How do we figure it out?
That's a great analogy, by the way. Let's go to Bob from Wisconsin's East Coast. Good morning to you, Bob. You say what, sir?
Well, good morning, Earl and Sandy. How are you?
All right.
I hope our connection's good. It's pretty rough on this end. But I wanted to cut right to the quick about
you need to turn your radio down.
North. And that is that the reason they're coming is because they're uncomfortable where they're living. If we focus on the areas that they're coming from and getting rid of...
Bob, do you have a TV on? Bob, do you have a TV on in the background?
I'm not hearing you well, Earl. I better call back.
No. Do you have a TV on in the background?
Radio or TV?
No, I don't. Go ahead.
Get your point in.
I'm having difficulty.
Okay, all right. You can call back. I guess, Sandy, it appears to me like he wanted to talk about the people coming at the border and the rationale and reason why the people are coming.
Yeah.
Which you've done before, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, we have to – I think if America stood back far enough from its issues so we could look at the forest and not the trees, you know, we find ourselves politically, you know, cutting down trees independently from analyzing the forest. And the forest, if we looked at it at the southern border, would tell us that there's lots of problems in the southern hemisphere, and maybe America ought to be focusing much more of its international attention on the southern hemisphere, things that actually affect us. You know, the borders that lead to immigration flights to us. Because what's clear is in the world at large, migration, human migration is going to become an increasing problem. Climate is going to cause it. Conflict is going to cause it. Endemic poverty in regions as compared to the alternative potential in other places is going to cause it. Human migration is an issue that America needs to be prepared for, because when people start migrating, a significant target for migration will obviously be the United States of America and the geography of North America. And so, you know, Congress has been kicking this can down the road for a long time. We better get a handle on it. And we better figure out how we can do this to allow the in-migration of people in an orderly fashion.
You know, Sandy, and it will be the destination place, and we should be excited about being a nation that offers what the rest of the world thinks is a great standard of living. But at the same time,
we can't ignore
the issues we internally are dealing with.
Well, the rest of the world thinks they're going to get a great standard of living, except that when they get here, 60% of them are going to live paycheck to paycheck and be terrified about getting sick and their lack of access to health care.
So that's the troubling part to me. So then why worry about those people at the border and why they're coming here and doing this when we really just have to take care of what we have internally here, and it can be done, Sandy.
Yeah,
right. These are things that can be solved. Is it safe to say that?
Well, they can be solved, but it's not easy. They're going to have to pick apart the federal budget and figure out the things we want to get our arms around. We have to look at the healthcare industry, and it's a terrible parasite.
And we do know where we can begin in all of this,
for sure.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's not like, but there's no target on that.
Right, right. I mean, we certainly would understand if we ever had a planning session for America and we took the problems and put them up on the board. You know, healthcare and its costs would be right near the top, and education and access to child daycare, all these things would be way up there. And well down the pike would be security of America's borders against invasion, right? Yeah. So we might begin to reflect on how we spend our money, and then we might also try to put our arms around the healthcare industry, figure out how we can shake it out so that it performs more like the effective healthcare industry in the rest of the world.
Or that we continue to spend almost $1 trillion that we don't have, you know.
The defense, but we have $1.5 trillion we could save on healthcare expenditures.
All right, gotta go. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Sandy. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Calvin. We'll be back on Monday.
Somebody's home.